Take your Bible, please, and turn with us to the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew 18. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading at verse number 1. The same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of the little ones, of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I certainly do want to thank you again today for the Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you for the great privilege it is, Lord, to be able to bring forth your Word today. This preacher needs your power. He needs your wisdom. And Lord, you know those things that he needs personally. And I ask you for them. And Father, help me today to do your will. And we'll always praise you and thank you for who you are and how wonderful you are. And Lord, we just want to know you to know that we love you today because you first loved us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled my message today, Who is Greatest in the Kingdom of Heaven? We're going to preach a message on children today. Jesus said of John the Baptist, he said, there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist. And yet he also went on and said, But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. When Jesus wanted to express and answer a question that was asked him by his disciples, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he went and called a little child and set that child in the midst and began to talk about that child or children. That's the way he expressed who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The example he used was a child. And you notice there, and personally, as I think about this, I don't think he just chose any child. I think personally that Jesus had been looking and watching and observing. I think that the child he chose was a child that probably more than likely Jesus had seen him be obedient to his mother and dad. I think that when he was told to do something, the child more than likely said, Yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. I think when it was told him, this little child, evidently it was a boy because it does talk about setting him in the midst of them. I think when he told him that they was going to listen to Jesus Christ speak, and that's who he was, I think this little child became very quiet and obedient and was listening very carefully. I don't think Jesus was just necessarily talking about children in general, although we can look at it and say, yes, he's talking about children, but I think also he was not talking about some little rebellious child that was screaming and yelling and things like that. But he did bring a child to illustrate who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He brought a child and set them in the midst thereof. Now a child, and first of all, if you'll notice in verse number 4, he qualifies because he says, because he told them, he said, except ye be converted, become as little children, ye shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. But then he qualifies that and he says, here's why. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There was a quality about the child that was very, very important, and he said it was to humble himself. If a person was going to be converted, it was going to take humility. And that's what he was stressing in the fact that he was bringing a child to them. He was talking about their humbleness. You know, a child, he came when he was called here in verse number 2. He called him unto him, and the child came. We also know that a child's faith is very, very simple. They just believe what they're told. Very, very simple faith. God wants you and I to become a child in that respect and just believe his word. simple faith in believing God. We also know that they're very teachable. A child is teachable. Tender ages is when you begin to put most of the character traits into a child. It's because they're teachable at a very early age, and that's when they learn and they accept what's being told them. Not only that, a little child is someone who has not been covered up and touched completely with worldly sin. And I'm not saying children don't do things wrong, but they haven't lived like an adult has lived, and sin has become such an important part of their life. And so they're young and they're tender and they're willing to listen. And so God is saying to us today, we need to become as little children. We need to open our ears. We need to become humbled as a child is humble and be willing to come and humble themselves before the Lord. You know, we saw this week, time after time, little children coming up willing to say, I just want to get saved. Or I just want to dedicate my life to the Lord. What a tremendous humbling thing it was to see these little children being willing to come and kneel on their knees and ask Jesus Christ to save them. When I talk about little children, they were all not just little children. I'm talking about up through the eighth grade. They was willing to humble themselves before God. Can I say this to you? That's a hard thing for adults to do. You see, God expects for an adult, and that's why he said, be converted and become as a little child. He expects an adult to humble themselves before God Almighty and admit they're sinners in need of the Savior, which is Jesus Christ. And if you've had any experience in working with adults and talking with adults and trying to bring the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ to them, seems to be very difficult in the day that we live to get those people to simply humble themselves and say, I'm a sinner. The way that God says we're a sinner. I'm not talking about they'll say, oh yeah, I've done things wrong, but that's not what God's looking for. God's looking for this fact that you're a sinner in the eyes of God. That's what you are. You're sin. You have a sin nature. And most folk don't want to admit that. They begin to look around as I did when I was right before I got saved and kept thinking that I probably surely was a little bit better than I was worse. I don't know whether you ever had that problem or not, but I did. And I always thought, well, I've done a little bit more good than I have bad, so surely God would accept me. And it took me a while to understand that in the eyes of God, I was a rotten sinner. And for adults, it seems to be very difficult for adults to come to that decision and realize in the eyes of God. God says we're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he says you need to humble yourself as a little child. Just willingly admit where we are, that we're lost and undone, and that we need a Savior. So first of all, he uses that example of someone who is very humble, this child that is very humble. Also, secondly, I'd like to share with you the importance of receiving children. If you'll look with me in the 18th chapter, verse number 5, it says, And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. You know, all down through the years of my ministry, ever since we began preaching, we've always had bus ministry here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Soon after we started the church in 1973, we bought a bus and we named it Friendly Freddy. It was the first bus that we had, and we run it best we could around the community. We was down in Midland at that time in the Swaby House down there. And we run Friendly Freddy, getting boys and girls to come to church. And ever since then, that's what Blessed Hope Baptist Church has done. You just do everything you can to get boys and girls in church. In fact, I've tried to share with you, and I think you understand that much of our ministries here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is designed to reach young people. And the reason we do that is because Jesus said, if you receive them, it's the same as receiving me. Little children are welcome at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and not only are they welcome, in fact, they honor us with their presence. Now, that does not mean that we let little children run the church and we don't let them get by with anything they want to get by with. We don't do that, but we treat them with kindness and grace. And I am so thankful when little children get off of those buses. That's one of the greatest times of my whole year, when I can stand out there at Vacation Bible School and greet all those children coming off of those buses. I greet every one of them, tell them I'm glad they're here. And I just enjoy that, you see, because I am glad they're here. Children are such a blessing. And Jesus said, if you receive them, it's like receiving me. Now, he's not talking about salvation there. You can't receive a little child and get saved because you receive a little child. He's talking about rewards and works there. But he said, if you receive that little child, it's like receiving me. So children are very, very special to Blessed Hope Baptist Church because they're very, very special to Jesus Christ. If you'll notice with me also over in Matthew, the 10th chapter, you have to go back to the 10th chapter just a moment. And I want to read to you verse 40 through 42. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And listen, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. He said, if you just give a cup of cold water to one of these little children, and I was thinking this week what a blessing it has been as I've watched our workers. It's amazing. I mean, I step back and just kind of watch and look at this, and I'm amazed at how when they come bring them in on the buses, how they care for them and help them along, do whatever needful. One little boy came one morning, and he was just a little fella, and he kind of messed his breeches up. And one of the workers on the bus said, oh, don't worry, Pastor, said, we'll take care of that. I'm going to take him right now and change him. I mean, no thought. That's just the way you do. Because he's a little boy and he came to Vacation Bible School, needs some special attention. I've seen it and I watched it out here on the picnic on Friday, and I saw just bus workers and workers in general just running around helping these little boys and girls and giving them drink and giving them food, and Brother Chester running around right behind them with the yellow bucket cleaning it up, you know. He had the mop bucket, and he was going all over the place, and wherever he was called, Brother Chester went. He went over and mopped up the messes, you know, and that's all right. That's all right. But I saw it over and over and over again, how the workers just give their hearts and lives to these little boys and girls. And Jesus said, you do it to them. It's just like doing to me. I saw teachers and helpers in classes work so hard in getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And let me say that to you. That's the purpose of Vacation Bible School. We get the gospel out. We get the Word of God out. If they're unsaved, we want them to get the gospel so they can be saved. And if they're already saved, we want them to get the Word of God so they can grow. Down in our 2s and 3 years old, we want them to hear the gospel. More than likely, they're not going to get saved, but we want them to hear the gospel. We want them to hear the Word of God. See, that's why it's so important, and I know as our parents of our youngsters, little babies are there, there's Tanya and Greg, so important you read the Bible to them and talk to them. I don't care if they're just a little baby, you tell them how much Jesus loves them and read the Scripture to them, and I know these folk do that, but that's important. Brother Klein has a new baby back here, and I know that they do that. They just tell him about Jesus, and they little children ought to hear that. Amen. They ought to know how much Jesus Christ loves them. So we know it's important to receive children. We could go to verse after verse in the Bible here talking about the importance of receiving little children. And so again, I say it's important, folks, when you see little children running around here, just be glad they're here. Amen. Now, we'll try to do everything we can to keep everything under control and all that, but be glad they're here. Amen. Because little children are very special. They're special to Jesus, and if you receive them, it's like receiving Him. Amen. So you want to remember that. Also, it's also important in bringing children to Christ. If you'll look in Matthew, the 18th chapter, the verse number, 19th chapter, verse number 13, says, then were there brought unto him little children. If you notice there, it says they were brought unto him. I want to say to you, it's very, very important that we bring children to Jesus Christ. That's what our bus ministries are all about. We go out and we try to bring boys and girls to Jesus Christ. Now, it's not just the bus ministry alone, but I'm using that, I'm stressing that, because we had two vans and five buses run this week bringing boys and girls. And you know what? That's what we're instructed to do. I would like to ask you a question. You can't answer this. You can't give me a figure, but how many boys and girls would have been in Bible school if people had not have brought them? It had been very few. We wouldn't have been able to say at the end of the week we had 319 here on Friday. It's because people went out and got them. I'm not just talking about bus ministry. I'm talking about parents brought them and let them off at the door up here and came back after them. Talking about neighbors picked them up. Friends picked them up and brought them to Bible school. I'm saying to you, don't ever get tired of bringing boys and girls to Jesus. Now, the reason you can bring them to Jesus other places, if you take the Word of God and share it with them and tell them how to be saved and tell them how much Jesus loves them, I know that. But church is a wonderful place you can bring them where they can hear about Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So don't ever tire, don't ever get weary of just bringing boys and girls to Jesus Christ or to church where they can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage every parent, and I'm sure most of you here do, but every parent, you keep your boys and girls in Sunday school and church on Wednesday nights. You keep them faithful to the house of God. You just keep them faithful all the time. Keep bringing them so they'll hear the Bible, the Word of God. That's so important. So Jesus looks down and saw them bringing these little children to Him, and to Him that was important. Not only that, we also know it's important for us to be like little children. Chapter 18, we look in verse number 3 and 4, and it says, "And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." I realize and understand I spoke a little bit about this a while ago, but I want to share with you that it's so important for us to be like children in our faith, being willing to humble ourselves before God. Now, I stressed that earlier, but let me say to you, it's a real, real problem. It's a very serious problem for we as adults to be able to humble ourselves before God. That's why I like in my personal prayer, and many times on Wednesday night after our services, we gather for prayer, I like to get down on my knees. Now, I know you don't have to get down on your knees and pray. I understand that. I pray in my car. I pray a lot of times. But I think it's a wonderful thing to just humble ourselves before God and bow our face before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm humbling myself to the Him who is deserving. And it's a great and wonderful thing to just to be able to get down on your knees and humble yourself before God. Now, we adults are just too proud. And we need to get rid of that pride. And we need to humble ourselves before God Almighty like a little child does. It is so serious that God says if a man won't humble himself before God, he can't be converted. See, it takes humility to get saved. Do you understand? It takes humility to get saved. You've got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm that old sinner the Word of God says I am. I am lost. Before you can ever get saved, you've got to know you're lost. And in that, the reason you're lost is according to the Bible, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners. And so we're lost. And we've got to come to that place where we're willing to humble ourselves to God and say, God, I'm just exactly what you said I am. I'm an old sinner, lost, helplessly lost. And if I don't get saved, if I don't put my faith and trust in you, I'm going to go to hell. And I deserve it. Boy, that's hard to say, amen. You see, for adults, that's very, very difficult. It may be for some children, too, but usually a child will come to that humbly. Has no problem with it. Amen? We as adults need to realize God is looking for humility in our life. Expecting us to humble ourselves before the Lord. Look over in the book of Mark, the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. 15th verse. Mark 10, verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Now, folks, God wrote that. Holy Spirit inspired that. All the preacher was doing was reading it. And he said, if you don't come as a little child, if you don't receive the kingdom of God as like a little child, you'll not enter in. So what I'm saying this morning is simply this. If you're here without Christ this morning, you're here and you've never been saved, you need to, at the invitation, just humble yourself before God and say, God, I'm exactly that. I'm an old sinner and I need to come and I need to present myself and I need to ask Jesus Christ to give me eternal life. I know I've sinned. I know I'm lost. And I know if I die, I'll go to hell and I want to be saved. Amen. That's the greatest thing you can do, you see. So it's so important, and there's other places in the Scripture, and it's so important that we understand that we need to be like the little child in humility. Not only that, I want to give you also some warnings that God gives. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 6th verse, he says this, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, you might think about that just a moment if any of you know what a millstone is. I have a stone out at the house that I'm not sure it was just like this millstone, but it's a round stone, and it used to be fitted on one of those things you could turn, almost like a bicycle type thing, and you could turn that thing and sharpen knives and things like that with it. A millstone is very, very heavy. It's very difficult for me to pick that stone up. Heavy. Now imagine tying that around your neck and dropping into the sea. You'd go to the bottom. But Jesus said it is better to do that than to offend one of these little ones. Now that's what Jesus said. The word offend there speaks of causing to stumble. Now listen to me. You're not offending a child when you correct them. In fact, you're offending them if you don't correct them. You're not offending a child when you train them up in the way that they should go, and when they do something wrong, you correct them and do what is necessary to straighten that out. That's not offense. That's a thing that should be done. But when you cause them to stumble, when you cause them to go wrong and you're the cause of that, God said, you better get a millstone and hang it around your neck and jump in the sea. Be better for you. These child abusers, I'm talking about the real child abusers, it'd be better they go get a millstone and hang around their neck and jump in the sea. God says so. Dangerous stuff. Little children are very special in the eyes of the Lord, and we have to be careful how they're treated. So he says, don't cause them to stumble. Look at chapter 19, verse number 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The next thing he says, he gives a warning about don't ever forbid a little child coming to Jesus. Mamas and daddies, don't ever forbid your children to come to Jesus. In fact, I believe there's an offense when we don't teach them about Jesus. Jesus expects every child to hear the gospel and be taught about him. He's the creator. He's the savior. And it's an offense not to teach every child about Jesus Christ. To step in the way of stopping any child from coming to Jesus Christ is a terrible sin, according to the Bible. It's our responsibility to do the opposite and bring them to Christ. Notice also over in Matthew 18th chapter, the 10th verse. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. The word despise there speaks of working against. Take heed that you work not against one of these little ones. Why? Because the angels in heaven, their angels in heaven are standing before the face of the Father. Serious business what we do with little children. Serious business how we treat little children. Serious business when we forbid them to come to Jesus Christ. And I've seen that down through the years where parents have forbid them, don't want them to hear about Jesus Christ. I'm very grateful that multitudes of people in this community have no problem of sending their children to church. The only problem with that is they ought to be bringing them. Now, I'm thankful that they let them come. Don't get me wrong. I'm so thankful they let them come. I'm so grateful they do. But it would be much, much better if they would bring them and come and sit down with them in the house of God and hear about Jesus together, you see. So don't work against a little child. Not only that, I want to show you now what he wants to do for them when they come. Over in the book of Mark, the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, 13th verse, says, "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them." You see, this was another thing, going back up to the warnings that he gave. He was warning the disciples not to rebuke those that brought little children to him. The disciples didn't want Jesus bothered. And he really got on them for this. "Don't you rebuke little children. Keep them from me." Now, in this verse of Scripture, he says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. What Jesus wants to do is touch them, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but he wants to give them the blessings of life. He wants just the touch of Jesus Christ is a tremendous thing. Multitudes of people throughout the Scripture was healed because Jesus touched them. Just laid his hands on them, and they was healed. It doesn't say here that these children were sick, but he wanted to touch them. He wanted the blessings of God upon their life. Now look also in Matthew. Go back to Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse number 10. He said, and we read that verse, but listen to what he says. "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost." How could we keep little children from coming to Christ when that's the very reason Jesus Christ came? That's the purpose he came for. Why did he came to this earth? To seek and to save that which was lost. Now listen to what he says. "How think you, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them is gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he findeth it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." And then listen to what he says. "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." See, it's not the will of God that any child should ever perish. I'm talking about eternity perish. I'm talking about their souls perish. God is saying to us, "I want every child saved." And they can't get saved, folks, unless they hear about Jesus. We've got to bring them to Jesus. We've got to teach them about Jesus Christ, because that's the will of God, that every single one would be saved, you see. That's why Christ come, was to save them. Now let's go over to chapter 19 of book of Matthew, the 13th verse. He says, "And then when they were brought unto him, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them." You know what Jesus Christ wanted to do? He wanted to lay his hands on them and pray for them. Folks, not only does little children need to get saved, but little children needs the blessings of Jesus Christ upon their life. They need people like you and I. Jesus is not here in body now to go around and pray for every child. But we are. We're here. I have a habit in my life when I see children, whether it's in a mall or wherever it is, I just have a little habit in my life. I'll say, "Lord, save that child." I try to pray for them. When I see little children running around, I don't know about most of you. The older I get, little children, I'm telling you something, I can't hardly stand it. I just love little children. Amen. Now, they do grow up into adults, and but little children are something very special. All you have to do is just look at them, and they're just something special. And I think that's the way Jesus Christ felt about them. And he wanted to pray for them. And so make a habit to pray for them. Pray for little children. That's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to put his hands on them, and he wanted them to have the blessings of God upon their life for the rest of their life. I don't know how many people take it too serious, but in our adult Sunday school class, I've told you before, we have a list of all the children in our church, and we have a list, and I go through that every morning and pray for every one of them. They're the ones from up through high school. We pray them on up through high school. We just pray for them. I believe it's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. That's what he was doing for them. Lord, to save them, I ask God to keep Satan from them. I know Satan will tempt them, but not to be controlled by Satan. And I ask him always to protect them physically. And I always ask him, Lord, grow them up to be used of you. I just want them used of God. And I'm saying to you folks, that's what Jesus wants. So little children are very, very special. We've witnessed that this week at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We've seen many saved and many made decisions for Jesus Christ. And I just want to again say thank you to those who worked. You did what Jesus would want you to do in blessing the little children. Now, don't leave them there. Pray for them. You may not remember them all by name, but pray for them, that God will take a hold of their lives and mold them and be used of him for the rest of their life. When I see these little children's faces, I look at them and I think, from time to time, I'll think, I wonder what God's going to use that one for. And sometimes I've seen some that just seem like they're so full of life and they do little mischievous things. And I say, God, that little fella is going to need that one of these days. You're going to use all that energy. You're going to turn it one of these days unto him, and you're going to use it for the glory of God. All I know is this, as pastor, I am thankful for every young person I see in this place and all that came this week. I'm thankful for you. And you need God's blessings upon your life. Now, should you not be saved? Say, Brother Ross, I don't know if I died today whether I'd go to heaven or not. What a great opportunity it would be for you today to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Believe upon him and be saved. What a tremendous opportunity this would be. That's what Jesus wants for you. If you're here as a child or an adult, and you say, Lord, I really would like for you to use me for the rest of my life. What a blessing that would be. You may need to come to an altar prayer and just seal that here today. Just give yourself unto the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be used of you. Bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the grace of God and your goodness and your kindness to us. I want to thank you, Lord, for all you've done, and Lord, for the blessings of this past week, and Lord, for the blessings of a life in seeing those come to Christ. Now, Lord, we pray for this day, this hour, this Sunday. There may be those here, Lord, who do not know you as personal Savior. We would pray today would be the day of their salvation. We would pray also, Lord, that this would be the day of their dedication to trust you and believe in you and put their life in your hands. You take them and you bless them and use them in Jesus' name. Amen.